As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Monday, June 19th. This is On Deck. I'm Stephen Nesbitt, and I'm here with Levi Weaver, one of my favorite dads around. Happy Father's Day. It'll be belated by the time folks listen to this. Levi, have you done anything like super dad lately?
I took the kids to the Dallas World Aquarium, and there were penguins. And I was like, oh, it seems a little warm for penguins. And my daughter, who is 10, goes, actually, Dad, penguins live in a lot of places. There's a penguin that lives in the desert. And I was like, oh, wow, really? And she immediately was just like, no. And like, broke into laughter. So good for her. There is actually, jokes on her, there is a penguin that lives in the desert, but she didn't know. And I appreciate the mischief. On today's show, we are going to talk about Shohei Ohtani. We are going to preview our top series for the week. We're going to make our home run chase picks. And Stephen's going to tell us his favorite Father's Day story from his time as a duck dad.
Wow, quack, quack. My son did tell me this morning, he's two, and he first declared it his birthday, which is not. He's 2.5. And then he said, I'm your father. And I said, that's not true. I don't want to explain. I'm not nearly ready for some of that. Anyway, what I want to talk about on today's show is Shohei Ohtani. He's on pace for the best offensive season yet, which there have been some pretty incredible ones. He's batting, as of time of recording, I'll be honest, these are slightly delayed because it's the second inning right now and the Angels against the Royals. So he just dipped under 300 batting average. He's at 299, 385 OBP, 626 slugging for a 1.011 OPS. He's incredible. We already know this. We don't really need to like belabor this point, but he's on one of those runs that kind of makes everybody stop and say like, hold on, can we just appreciate this? He is a 329 ERA pitcher, starting pitcher, having the best opponent batting average of his career. Like when he's in the strike zone, he's unhittable. He has some of the same struggles as a hitter and pitcher. Guys don't chase it as much because they say, I'll wait for you to throw me a strike. But he's still, you know, he's going to be the best pitcher on most pitching staffs around the most rotations. And then on the offensive front, he's a force. We're seeing him every other day right now, like light up Statcast with a, you know, opposite field blast. He's leading the majors in 23 homers, 10 steals to go with it. Like this guy, he's been doing it basically since he came up. I was looking back at his rookie year numbers, which was kind of abbreviated. They were not letting him pitch or and hit full time, but it was a lot of the same stuff. He's had 22 homers that year, 10 steals, I think, as well. And he's just doing it full time now. And it's such, as like silly as this is, it's such like a blessing to see this guy do it full time. He's out there every game, pitching, hitting, DHing, whatever. Yeah, we get to see it. It's like foregone conclusion. This is the best player we're going to see play in our lifetimes. And I'm good with it. This is really fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he went 7-for-12 in a four-game series in Texas and hit four home runs, one of which was a 460-foot opposite field home run. The exit velocity was, I think, 116.1 miles per hour, which is, this is a word that we sometimes will use colloquially. I mean it literally. It's unprecedented. Like, every other home run that has been hit, you know, that hard has been pulled, and he hits at 460, 116 mile an hour exit velo to the other side of the field. Yeah, I know you said we don't have to belabor the point. I would actually really like to belabor the point. Here are the hitting statistics in which Shohei Ohtani leads the Angels. Hits, triples, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, walks, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, of course, OPS, and total bases. Here are the statistics in which he leads the Angels in pitching stats. innings pitched, starting pitching ERA, starting pitching whip, and strikeouts. As if that's not enough, here are the statistics in which he leads the league, in which nobody in baseball is better than him. WAR, according to Baseball Reference, at 4.7. Adjusted OPS, runs created, adjusted batting runs, adjusted batting wins, extra base hits, times on base, offensive winning percentage added, base out runs added, base out wins added, situational runs added, and championship winning percentage added. From a pitching standpoint, he leads the league in hits per nine inning, and then also, bringing it back to earth a little bit, leads the league in wild pitches and hit by pitches. I use stats because I don't have any words. Like, how do you describe he's the best player that's ever lived? That's just the only way that you can say it accurately. I don't think we'll ever see anyone else like him, or if we do, we'll all be dead by then. It's remarkable, and I don't really know how to quantify it any better than that.
Producer Ryan in the chat saying, breaking news, Ohtani is good. So with that, that's our time for the day. Thank you for checking in, Brian. Thank you for the... now we got a little more to do, because I want to think forward a little bit here, because we know this is his walk year with the Angels. I don't see... It doesn't look like there's momentum toward anything happening prior to him for hitting free agency. And honestly, if I'm his agent, yeah, I'd like to see this guy go to the open market and see just what kind of numbers can be put up. So if you're on the Angels side of things, what can reasonably be done to try to lure this guy back to Los Angeles? Look, he picked them in the first place. He could have gone literally anywhere. If you remember the stipulations around his signing, it was capped. There's only a certain amount of money he could take because he wasn't old enough. I don't know exactly the explanation, but hadn't basically gone through the whole system to where he could be posted like anybody else and given any amount of money. So he picked Los Angeles and he picked the Angels, and he could have gone to Seattle, could have gone to the Dodgers, could have gone wherever he wanted, to San Diego on the West Coast. Or
greatest baseball player of all time, maybe not the greatest judgment of all time to choose the Angels.
Well, Mike Trout's done the same thing, and he's stuck around there all the whole time. So if you knew what you know now, maybe you make a different decision, or maybe not, because does them getting to the postseason this year, like, does that make it no longer an embarrassment, no longer a failure with him? Maybe, to be quite honest, it's a difficult division. He ran into the division at a time when the Astros, or a buzzsaw, were signing players, were spending money to sign guys. All of their rewards of their tanking were paying off at that point. And so the Angels, as we stand today, a year ago, they were in a nice position, but also maybe by now they'd actually gone way downhill. They fired their manager. Things are vibing better right now. They're 7 games over .500 as we record on a 10-3 run, and that includes a walk-off loss on Saturday. So they're doing pretty well, but they still, I don't think they have the roster to do a whole lot beyond maybe hang in the wild card race. And so as I look forward, I think this is crucially important that they take some serious steps at the trade deadline to signal to him, look, we weren't just serious about getting a bit of a roster around you and Trout this last offseason. We're going to do more of that. And where are there holes? We're going to add, because we think it's crucial for us to not only hang on to you for the rest of the season and show you that we're not going to trade you, we're not going to be far enough out, we're not going to have lost hope, but we're also going to invest in the team enough that we can get you back here on a ridiculous contract for the rest of your career. I think that's what the Angels should be trying to do. And I know everyone else is gearing up, look at the Dodgers, to spend a lot of money on him. But I think they have an opportunity in the next month, month and a half here, to really signal to him why he should stay there long term.
I think when you look at who is in charge, and decisions of that size are not necessarily just made by the general manager. Artie Moreno has a tendency to want the biggest star in the sport to play for him, even in situations where the biggest star in the sport is beyond his prime. And we saw what happened with Albert Pujols. We saw the Josh Hamilton contract. We've seen a lot of times in Angels history where they like splashed out for a guy that was maybe past his prime. Anthony Rendon, I didn't think would be necessarily that case, but it's kind of been that case. I think, you know, we've talked in recent years about how like the Mark Teixeira type trade doesn't happen anymore, where John Daniels trades Teixeira and basically sets his franchise up to go to the World Series a couple of times. Doesn't really happen anymore, but I think Ohtani is the type of player who could bring back that kind of return. And frankly, it's not the sentimental thing that you want to do. The fans would be upset. You lose a lot of international money doing it. But if you want to win a World Series, I think you trade him and then tell him ahead of time, like, listen, we still want you here next year, but now you're going to have a whole lot of good young talent around you, and we're going to win a World Series with you here. So this is not because we don't want you. Yeah, you run the risk of him going, that's the team that traded me, I'm never going back there. You run that risk anyway if he hits free agency. So if it's me, I think you do the unpopular thing, set your franchise up to win for a long time, and I think trading Ohtani is the right move.
It would certainly, for those like me who favor chaos mode, It would do it. I mean, the All-Star game last year was dominated by Juan Soto trade talk when they pretty much reached a point where, all right, we're not going to sign. This one has not been public. They have not discussed, they throw numbers out there. There have not been reports of how many hundreds of millions he's turned down from the Angels at this point. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I mean, the best way for them to win 5, 6, 7 years from now is certainly to trade him. But I'm sure they must have some read by now, and if they have a chance to keep him. And I think they'd only keep him to the end of the season if they thought there was at least like a whisper of hope. But again, we're not making those calls, and Artie Moreno might be hitching his wagon to something that is even less than a little bit of hope, and just think that, you know, we're going to keep him to the end because it would look terrible if we traded Shohei Ohtani. So we'll see.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
That brings us to our series of the week previews, and I'm going to just stay on topic a little bit and go with the Rage Against the Machine album. We're going with the Battle of Los Angeles. It's the Dodgers versus the Angels. The Angels right now are 40-33. They're 4.5 games back in the division. They're tied tied for second with Houston. They are currently tied for the third wild card spot as well, which leads me to, we haven't spent enough time on Ohtani, but if they are in a playoff position, I think that does change they need to trade him and set up, because it's been so long since they've been to the postseason. If they are in a wild card position and then trade Ohtani, I hate to do things for PR, but that would just look so bad. Also, I was a little surprised, but I shouldn't be, because this is our team of destiny here in the chat. The Miami Marlins are ahead of the Dodgers in the wild card race. So I decided to take a look at how the teams compare this month in a few hitting and pitching statistics just for the month of June, right? So the Dodgers are 4-6 in their last 10. The Angels are 7-3. The Angels currently on a hotter streak, but for the month of June, ERA favors the Angels. Walks is the one thing that actually favors the Dodgers. They're walking fewer batters, but like walks and strikeouts. But the Dodgers have allowed 78 runs in June. That's the 27th best in the league. I recognize that that's a little skewed by a 15-run game. The Angels playing well, but it's not like they're at the top of the league either. They're on runs allowed. They've allowed 70. That's only 19th best in the league. Where the Angels have been thriving, and again, this comes back to our man of the week, Shohei Ohtani, their offensive numbers have been great. They rank 5th in runs, 2nd in home runs, 11th in average, 8th in on base, 4th in slugging, 5th in OPS. Meanwhile, the Dodgers rank, and it's not important, was it a 13th, 7th in home runs, but 19th, 16th, 14th, 15th. They have been very mid, and yeah, injuries have played a huge part in that, but yeah, I mean, these are not the Dodgers that we expected to see this year, just after, what has it been, about 75 years of dominance, it feels like. To your earlier point, some of this may be that they intentionally didn't put in as much effort this year to solidify the team because they're saving that budget money for Ohtani. And if that's the case, and if they get him, then hey, it's worth it. Frankly, if I'm a Dodgers fan, they have won enough in the last few years. They have done enough in the last few years that if that's what they're trying to do, okay, I can take a 2023 season that's not great if that's what you're attempting to accomplish. So I think probably the Angels have the edge in this series, but of course, you never know with baseball.
quick two-game series there in Anaheim. I like the pitching matchups. It's Clayton Kershaw, Reed Detmers, two lefties going at it in game one, and then Shohei Ohtani against Emmett Sheehan. Emmett Sheehan coming up from double A and shoving in his first start for the Dodgers, who are just like plucking guys out of nowhere and turning into Bobby Millers and Emmett Sheehan. So there we go. I flipped through a couple options for my series of the week. I thought about the Marlins against the Blue Jays, almost an identical record there, both certainly in the hunt, but the listener already knows we are a pro-fish podcast. They're on a roll. They have this hot young pitching staff. And somehow like Sandy Alcantara's biggest question mark right now, whatever. You guys already know about the fish. So I thought about the Cardinals, Nationals for worst record in the National League. One of those teams you expected to be there and the other one, it's been interesting. Last option I considered before not picking it was Padres Giants. So I love in-division things. I love it when things get interesting in the division. And with this schedule, we're having less and less of the division matchups. But the Padres making some noise lately, 200-500. The Giants are white hot right now. Luis Matos is great. Jock Peterson is great. We're just talking to producer Brian about them before the show, trying to figure out who do I start today in fantasy. It's tough. They're currently in the last wild card spot. But I went with the Braves-Phillies, staying in the National League there. So the Phillies have been making a lot of noise lately. They're 37-34, 8-2 over the last 10 games, and have won 5 in a row. Why does that sound familiar? Because it's exactly what the Braves have done, just with a better record. To start with, they are 45-26, and in first place in the NL East. So with the Phillies, it feels like this is a time when the lineup is really flipping the switch that we knew they had. We saw it all last year, and they basically brought that team back and added to it Trey Turner. Like a pretty good recipe for that to work out. And their top five in the lineup goes Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, Nick Castellanos, Bryce Harper, and JT Realmuto. Like, you don't mess with that top five. And at the same time, Bryson Stott has been hot lately. Alec Bohm seems like things are starting to click there. That top five may be, you know, rivaled only by maybe what's happening in San Diego and then also what's happening in Atlanta. They start off Ronald Acuña Jr., Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley, Sean Murphy, and Matt Olson. And then you toss in Ozuna, Rosario, Arcia. Orlando Arcia just randomly having an all-star season. Why not? You know, just fill in behind Dansby Swanson there. And then Michael Harris is having a really poor season, but has all the tools that we saw last year, certainly. So this is going to be a really good series. I like the way it lines up here. It's going to be probables of Spencer Strider, AJ Smith-Shawver, Jared Schuster, lining up against Ranger Suarez, Aaron Nola, and Taiwan Walker. Again, the Phillies are coming on hot lately. The rotation's been fantastic, and I think they're in a good place, certainly better than they were when, like, the weakest link lately has been Aaron Nola for this season. I think he's got a lot more in the tank, and that bullpen is great, even with Sir Anthony Dominguez going on the injured list. So, good series there. I'm going to say the Phillies take 2 out of 3 and really start to make things start to cook in that division.
I'm actually just looking up to see when the Braves play the Rays. That happens July 7th, 8th, and 9th in Tampa Bay, because if it didn't happen before then, I think we could do worse than just letting the lineups for the AL and NL All-Star game just be like Rays versus Braves. And then, you know, add Ohtani, add a couple guys here and there as subs, but just, you know, just let that happen, because those two offenses both just top to bottom. And I don't mean to besmirch my hometown Rangers either. Their lineup has also been great, and in fact, maybe even better than the Rays at times. So maybe we can come up with like a round robin tournament, just let those three teams battle it out against a, you know, a barnstorming cadre of pitchers, and that would be a great, you know, we need to mix up the All-Star game anyway, right? It's a little bland. Look what the NBA has done. They've brought new life back into it by just completely getting rid of the traditions. Baseball, make that happen. Let's just do that. Let's just try it.
Levi, it's that time again. Time for the On Deck Arcade. We need to catch up on some stuff. The arms race over the weekend, we both picked a starter. We put it up against the all-knowing GameScore 2.0 metric, and you won't believe what happened, folks. Zach Gallen goes out for Levi against the Guardians, goes 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts for a 69 GameScore 2.0. Hard to beat that one. And Joe Ryan, I was going between Joe Ryan and Sonny Gray for Minnesota against the Tigers. Joe Ryan goes out and goes 7 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts, including 2 homers, for a 45. I get absolutely swamped again. And Sonny Gray, just so I would not live with regrets, he put out a 47. So he two better than Joe Ryan. I'm still winless on the season. It's going terribly. It's, I think, 5-0 now. So let's move on quickly. Let's move on.
Because I need to, for our listeners who are not watching on video, I just need them to get the full effect, which is that I was leaned back in my seat with both arms up, silently but humbly accepting yet another victory in the arms race.
Yeah. So let's, honestly, Brian, you can cut out like a lot of that. Almost maybe the whole thing you could cut out. Really, really unnecessary at this point, gloating. So moving on to the Homer chase, where we have our cumulative one guy we pick each week. Things are going far better there, and I want to spend a little more time celebrating what's been happening. I think my picks have been on the money. This week I had Kyle Schwarber, and you had Yandy Diaz. Unless something happens Sunday that changes the game here, it was 2-0 for Kyle Schwarber over Yandy Diaz, which brings us to 11-6 for Nesbitt over Weaver. And so things have been going well, and I feel great about my pick this week, so I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, so I have a question before I make my pick. It counts through next Sunday's games, right? Like, because we record on Sundays, obviously we don't know what happens in the afternoon and evening games, but those count, correct?
Correct. It's like the week series and the weekend series.
Okay. In that case, even though he has an off day on Monday and an off day on Thursday, which limits the number of games, Shohei Ohtani's going to Coors Field. So I can't not pick the hottest hitter in baseball, leads the league in home runs, and he's going to Coors Field, and he's going to get to face Rockies pitchers. That's a slam dunk for me.
So I like what you're thinking. I'm actually thinking very similarly, but different team. This is my week I go with the Rockies. I've been saving them. And this week, I was going to save it for a homestand, but I'm saving it actually. I'm saving it for a week where they are at Cincinnati, which is a lovely place to hit, and then at home against the Angels. And I'm right in my head right now, I'm deciding between two guys, Nolan Jones or Ryan McMahon. McMahon just hit a homer, but I am actually going to go Nolan Jones. A little deeper in the lineup. Both of them have huge power. Nolan Jones is my pick for the week on the Rockies. So that will do it for us. Time for us to hit the exits. Thanks for listening. Thanks to producer Brian for hanging out with us on Father's Day. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $2 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseballshow. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. The two of us will be back on Thursday with more of What's on Deck.
And maybe we can get to the Ducks then, Stephen, because I know how proud you are of them.